everybody knows he's coming back for us.
Yes, amen. Yes.
And we're so thankful in this world, the way it's going now. I think the last place there in Revelation where John said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I think we're quickly moving into that time in Scripture. So very good to be with you here in the house of the Lord. Have their seats. Amen. Good to be a Christian today. Amen. It's good to see each one of you, Brother Pablo. It's been a while since we've had him visit with us, but enjoyed. I had a chance to talk with him on the phone yesterday, but really enjoyed that time of visitation. Good to see Sister Cindy with us again, Brother Dylan. Good to have Brother Brian and his wife Shelly. Hope I got that name right. I'm terrible with names, but for some reason I remembered her name. Not sure why, but praise the Lord, right? Amen. So, amen. It's good to be here. We'll go ahead and get into the scriptures. Let's begin reading Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. Try not to keep you standing long. How many enjoyed the slideshow before service?
Amen.
Brother Daniel put that together, and I've done that before, and I know how much time it takes to put something like that together. And so just pat him on the back and say thanks, because I know he spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah.
A lot of beautiful pictures, a lot of beautiful quotes and scriptures. And so that's a good primer. So when you come in and sit down, you can read those things and kind of get you going, get your mind going in the right way. Amen. Exodus chapter 21, verse 6. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the 7th year he shall go out free. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gave him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And then I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. She'll have it on the multimedia screen. This is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Let's bow our hearts for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We just want to thank you for this moment together here in the house of God and with your people. Lord, knowing that you promised to be here with us, and so we know we've already experienced your presence and praise and worship. And so, Lord, we're asking now that you break the bread of life to us today. Open your word to the hearts of your children does not lie within the man to be able to break the bread to your people, but it's for you, Lord, you alone. And so we ask God through your great Holy Spirit today, you just open the hearts of your people, Lord, they may be able to feed upon the eternal things that you provided for us. Such a wonderful word in this hour. We love you, Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. How many wants to let God be God today?
Amen. Amen.
When I say that, when I say let's let God be God, what I mean is let's not limit him to our limitations. Let's don't bring God down and say, well, he can't do what he can do. Put those limitations upon him. This morning I want to title this The Birthright, Inheritance, and Redemption. I want to speak about all three of those things. Those are all three very important statements, very important concepts in the Bible, teachings, very, very important conditions in the Scriptures. Matter of fact, the whole entire plan of redemption is all around these three things we're going to talk about this morning. Very important. And so we know with a birthright, just kind of looking those things up in the dictionary, just see kind of what the dictionary says, because we sometimes just in our culture we'll learn a definition of something and we really don't get the fullness of what that definition really is. And sometimes it's good to go and actually see, not try to make Webster an expert, even though they are in natural things. But when I say that, I don't mean I'm not going to take Webster's word for it above the Word of God. That's what I'm trying to say, right? The Word of God is right. And if Webster's interpretation of something doesn't meet what the Scripture is saying, then I'm not going to listen to it.
Right.
But if I can pull from that and it sheds light and helps expand on things in Scriptures, then we use that. Is that fair?
Amen.
All right. That's the right thing to do. And so birthright is just the right of possession from birth. Right?
Okay.
The right of possession from birth. And an inheritance is something that's passed to an heir or successor. Right? The rightful heir or successor. The successor. And so then, and of course, redemption, we always say redeem means to bring back. But redemption is the act, or redeem is the act of regaining. Not gaining something, but regaining. Meaning you had it once, but you lost it. Right? So redemption means to bring back. A redemption is to regain through payment. A payment that has to be made to redeem something.
Right.
And so the birthright makes you the rightful heir or successor, right, to what God wants for you. Yep. Right? And redemption, or the inheritance, what God wants for you is the inheritance. And so that's what God wants you to have. It's something that is given to you from your predecessor.
Right.
Someone who had it before you. It's not like God is giving up, right? But he's giving to you, just like a parent would to his child. And so we understand that. And so redemption, as I said, is to bring back. And so God is our Father. And God has something he wants to give to us.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
He wants to give to us something. And then he also knew that possibly as he would give that to his children, maybe they would do something that would lose that inheritance that he had given them. And him being God, he said, I'm going to make a way to get that back. And that's redemption.
Yeah.
Now we're so familiar with the fact that in daily life, you know, we make mistakes and we have to, all that has to be made right, and you have to put it under the blood, as the song there said. But I want you to understand something, as we'll talk about this morning. This inheritance that God gave us, he gave that to us from before the foundation of the world.
Right?
Right?
Right.
He already, it said, it's yours. Now, we hadn't come here yet, but it's yours. And in God's economy, he's determined to say, no one's going to keep you from having that. And so he knew that there would be a fall. And so through the fall, he made provision so that if there was a fall, and there would be a fall, then there would be a redemption that could bring back to what it was in the first place before it had been lost. And so that's those three words, the birthright, the inheritance, and redemption. And so we understand, if you want to know who you are in this world, if you want to know who you are and you want to know what you're here for, the only way to really do that is to find out where you come from.
Right?
Find out who your parents are, just in the natural. You know, there's a lot of people spend a lot of time looking at their family genealogy and want to find out where they come from and who they were and all those sorts of things. And you know my story about not knowing who my dad was for all those years. Right. And how all that works out. And so you have to realize, you don't, like Brother Daniel's sons, they didn't one day just all of a sudden, you know, they were somebody else's son and one day decided, well, I'm going to be Brother Daniel's son. Right? They were always.
Right?
See, you don't just become something. That's not the way God does it, right? And so we come here to this earth, and because we come in a fallen condition, we think, well, you know, we're really not children of God, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we, if we are sons of God today, or daughters of God today, we always were,
right,
but we came here in a fallen condition, but God's got redemption to bring us back to what we had already. That's what the whole plan of redemption is, to bring us back. And so, through redemption, and what happens, so here is, we are here in a fall, and we come here not really knowing, but as the preaching of the gospel and the word begins to come forth, and the Holy Spirit deals with your heart, you begin to find out who you are.
Right.
You already are, but you have to find this out. You have to come to the place where you understand that God is my Father, and therefore if God is my Father, then I have a specific genetic tie through Him, and I have a specific inheritance from Him, and He's made provision so that if something happens in my life and I fall short of that inheritance, and Satan tries to take it away from me, there is a redemptive plan that God has put in place to make sure that I will come back to and I'll never not lose what God had for me.
Right, yeah.
That's why I said, let God be God. He's smart enough before the creation of heaven and earth and everything. He knew that this would happen. And so He put things in place to whip the devil even after all he would do.
Yeah.
Right? And so He could still bring His children. So Satan can't defeat what God is doing. We believe that. And so we have to know who we are, where we come from. And then when you know that, then you kind of have a better idea of why you're here and what you can do while you're here.
Right?
It's very important that we understand what is our purpose here and that we carry out that purpose.
Yes, sir.
Right? And that purpose has a whole lot to do with where we come from and everything to do with where we come from, who it is that sin is here. That's who we are, what our purpose is. And then also, it can show you where you're going.
Right?
Amen. We understand that. These are things probably not new to most of us, but, you know, as we've said so many times, we like beans and cornbread and fried potatoes, and I might have had it last week, but I'd like to have it again this week.
Right?
And so, but anyway, the Word of God's the same, right? It is food for the believer.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Daniel and I went to visit somebody one time, and they said, man, we're just really roughing it. And they said, we've had to eat beans, potatoes, and, you know, cornbread. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I said, you don't have much mercy from us, because that's good eating, you know. But to them, they thought they were roughing it, you know. Anyway, you should invite us to come eat if that's what you're eating. Anyway, it was funny, but the Word of God is like that. You know, these things that we talk about have to become more than head knowledge.
Yes, sir.
Right.
You know, we can sit here and we can say, well, God's our Father. What does that mean, though?
Right.
What does that mean for everyday life?
Yes, sir.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, this is the Word of God. This is the words that created the entire universe.
Right.
Surely this Word has something for us.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Something, a way it can place us into full expression of what God wants us to be in this hour. And so it has to become more than head knowledge. We have to understand that God brought us here for a purpose.
Right.
He intends for us to have the inheritance, as we said, we've done read it, that we who are predestinated to an inheritance, right? God's doing it, so we're going to have it.
Right.
We're going to have that inheritance.
Yep.
And so He brought us here for a purpose, and He intends for us to have it. And He put in place laws of redemption so that if for some reason we lost it, we could get it back. It could come back through redemption, a payment plan of some sort that could bring it back. And so what I want to say, not only does this happen in our life now, but when we came here, we already were fallen. So the plan of redemption, Christ coming, restored us already.
Right?
Because that's in a great way. And then, of course, that is the same in a small way. As you have daily struggles, you do something you shouldn't do, then you come back, and there's a plan of redemption to bring that back. Because God is going to make sure that His children walk away from this earthly scene when it's all over and done with, and we step into eternity. We're going to walk away into eternity with the inheritance that God gave us.
Amen.
Amen. We believe that.
Amen.
And so, God is our Father, and He intended for us to have an inheritance. And He didn't give to us the world. He didn't say to His children, here, you can have the world, even though we know that the meek shall inherit the earth. Right? We understand that. But that's not what the inheritance was. It wasn't the world. It wasn't the earth. It wasn't even the universe. That so many 15 or 16 billion light years across. He didn't even give that to you. What did He give to you as an inheritance? Mm-hmm. Eternal life.
Yes. That's it.
The scripture said, what good would it do if you could gain the whole world?
That's right.
Lose your soul.
Yes.
Right?
Right? Amen. The greatest thing that God could give us is eternal life. But with that's He's the only form of eternal life. And so God is becoming a family. Right? Not just having a family, but becoming, because spiritually speaking, there's a spiritual genetics that passes out of God into His children. There's something in our spiritual makeup that's just like Him.
Yeah.
But we have to come to know that. We have to learn that.
Right.
Just like Him. And so He gave us the inheritance of His eternal life, but also the character of eternal life. The character and the faith to speak and create.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
God does that. And we know that even prophets from the time throughout the scriptures, God showing Himself as a foreshadow of what's coming, that they'd speak and things would be created and things would happen.
Yeah.
So that inheritance is the character, the life. What is it? A son walks in the life of his father and life of his mother, right? Children walk in the life of God, and they grow into the life of God. They grow into the full maturity of the life of God. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. Right.
But as we said, in the presence of the Word, and we're learning and we're growing, we're becoming more like our Heavenly Father, so we can express Him, not the natural, not the flesh, but God.
Yeah.
To express that nature. And so, eternal life and the character and faith to speak the Word of God, to speak creative Word. That, you know, remember the prophet said that Satan, Lucifer, you know, he was the highest angel in heaven. And he said, you know, we know the scriptures tell us that, but the prophet tells us that he was equal with God in every way except in creation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. Satan can do all kinds of things, but it's one thing he can't do is create God. Why? Because that's an attribute of God.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Right? So I would be pretty mad too if I'd been right-hand man of God and then God turned around and gave creative power to His people and didn't share it with me. I'd be mad too, probably, right? Wouldn't you? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
and so God doesn't give to the angels of heaven or give to Lucifer or something like that the creative ability, but He does give it to His offspring, because that's the genetics. That's the gene. That's why the prophet said that if you have Christ in you, you can speak a world into existence and you'll live on it. But it's governed by faith. We've not reached that point yet. But brother, sister, where do you think we're going after we leave here? You think we're just going to be bound and just barely being... No, we're going to a realm and to a place, a situation where the attributes of God are in full expression. But we're learning it here. We're learning it right now, here, in these struggles and these trials that we go through.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's what our inheritance is. God intended for us to have that. Amen. When did God give that to us? Before the foundation of the world.
Right.
We believe that.
Right.
How did He do that? We read there in Ephesians where He chose us. God chose us.
Yes.
In Christ, mm-hmm. before the world began.
Amen.
So you understand, as the scriptures tell us, the Word was made flesh. St. John chapter 1, verse 1, if she could bring that up if she wants it. St. John 1:1 and verse 14, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it was God.
Yep.
The Word was with God and was God, and then verse 14, and that Word became flesh, right? The only begotten, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? And so you understand that when God spoke there at the beginning, said in the beginning was the Word. Now God is eternal,
yeah,
right? But with God in his plan of redemption, there is something that is referred to as beginning, and that is when he spoke, the Logos, Word, came out of his mouth. That's the beginning. So in the beginning, there was God there, and his Word had come forth, that Logos had come forth, which was Christ Jesus in that form before he became man. Mm-hmm. Right? Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
And so when God spoke, he spoke Jesus.
Right.
I don't say, I'm not saying he said the word Jesus, but I'm saying when that word came out, the word that he was going to create all things by that word, that was Jesus Christ in a previous form.
Yeah.
Right.
And what I'm telling you is that in there, God had already chosen you and said, you're in there too.
Right.
So when he spoke Jesus Christ forth, the creative word that created the whole thing,
yeah,
in there was also you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that heaven and earth can pass away, but that won't pass away. And if we ever live throughout eternity, it's because we're part Word, because everything else is going to pass away but the Word.
Right.
So somehow we have to come to the revelation and understanding through this plan of redemption, through the preaching of the gospel, that I'm in that Word.
Amen.
There's something about me and there's something about you that shall not pass away.
Right?
Right? And that's what God wants you to identify with.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to just identify with the failures of the flesh and all that, because there's plenty of that.
Sure.
But he wants you to grow and come to know and come to identify with the part of you that is eternal life.
Amen.
Right? That's what he wants you to come in great understanding and contact with.
Right.
And so God placed us, he chose us in Christ before the world. Right?
Right.
Before all those things. How thankful we are. Listen,
oh, yeah.
I don't want my walk in this life, and my redemption, and my ability to be there or not be there, I don't want it to be based upon what I'm able to do.
Come on. Right. Yeah, right.
Because you know where that's going to end up.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that God's plan of redemption didn't leave it in my hands.
Right.
Right.
That he came along. He made sure that that redemption process was in place.
Yes.
So that I could come back to the thing I fell from.
Right.
So, you know, in God's mind before the world was, we possessed that position with God. But then we came here through a fall. But God says, I'm going to make sure that they still come back to that position.
Right.
Through redemption. The scripture tells us by predestination, we were given back then, we were given the ability to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We'll read Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 31. This is where we can see this. We know that all things, not some things, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. This group of people,
amen.
This group of people we're talking about, those that were the subjects here, he foreknew them.
Right.
For whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate. And he can predestinate because he does foreknow.
Right.
He did predestinate what? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Christ Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren, us. Right?
Yes.
That he might be the firstborn among many.
Right.
Right? So we can look at him and say, he's our brother. We know scripture says he's an everlasting father.
Yeah.
Right. He's also our husband. Right?
Right.
He's all those things.
Right.
Because he's God, and God can be God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. Thank God he has.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. Look at this. Because he foreknew us, he could predestinate. He could call us, justify us, and even glorify us.
Yeah.
We're already glorified in the mind of God.
Yeah.
We're just acting out down here coming to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So, but Paul says, when you think about all that, Paul says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, the things I'm telling you is in the scriptures here, right? This is the plan of redemption. And if once we can understand that if God is for us, it don't make no difference what anybody else, Satan or any demon or whatever, says or does. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. They can try.
Sure.
It's not going to work. Amen. So we're so glad that what God has done, he did these things.
Yeah.
You know, not one of us would come to the Lord if he didn't call us.
Right?
We wouldn't. Because remember in the garden when God came down, it was God looking for man, not man looking for God. And it's always that way.
That's right. Yes, it is.
You can say, praise God, I sought God and I did this. And I know you didn't. He calls you and you just yielded to the call.
That's right.
Thank God for the call.
Amen.
Amen. So we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son. So it's a family. So we're talking about birthright, inheritance. Those are family terms.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus Christ, our brother. Right? Firstborn of them, brother. So it's there's a family of God, right? Do you understand? There's a family of God. And if you're in the family of God, then you have family traits about you.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? You can't help it because it's in the gene.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
So you can't help that. And so we have family traits. You know, the scripture doesn't tell us that Adam spoke mountains and they moved and all that. Mm-hmm. But we understand that because he was son of God without sin. Till he fell in the garden.
Yeah. Right.
And we find out when Jesus come along, he was son of God. Uh-huh. And look how a son operated himself.
Yeah.
He could speak and break bread and make bread and out of fish and loaves and all the different things he did. Right? And so we understand that this is the family nature of sons of God. And so Adam could speak and Jesus could speak. And so we too, as the children and family of God, lays within us that same genetic power. It just hasn't been unlocked yet.
Right.
That's what we're coming to in this plan of redemption.
Yes.
That is coming to the place to be unlocked where we too manifest ourselves as the sons of God.
Right.
You know, the scriptures tell that we're the whole creation is growing, waiting for the manifestation of what? The sons of God.
Amen.
Waiting for the manifestation of us to step forward and fully express the gene that's in us, the gene of God that's in us.
Amen.
Amen. Can't do it until all that comes. That cycle moves to that place. So we know we come here, we came in a fallen condition.
Right.
And so when we came here in a fallen condition, we had lost our position, but God had a plan of redemption where he could bring that back and has done so when Jesus went up Calvary for us. So in the Old Testament, there was God placed laws in the Old Testament, laws of redemption. There was all kinds of laws, and they all point to Christ. But we'll speak just a little bit about them as we read there. And God placed these laws. And you realize in the Old Testament, all those natural laws and natural covenants and all those things were a type of spiritual things to come over here. And so, you know, when Jesus was the Lamb of God that was without spot or blemish, that type in the Old Testament when they had the Passover lamb and they had to inspect him and make sure he didn't have spot or blemish, and then he would be the sacrifice. Natural types of spiritual things to come.
Yes.
So God intends for us to be able to look back in the Old Testament and see the way something was in the natural, and that gives us a revelation of the way it is in the spiritual. So that when he comes along and he preaches something to us or gives something spiritually to us, we fully understand the magnitude of it, having the Old Testament as a foundation to show us what that was.
Right.
So that doesn't mean, you know, just for instance, like in the Old Testament, they had to keep Sabbath day, right? Because they were one group of people right there in one little place, and they all have one day as a Sabbath day. But we understand Sabbath means rest, and that day was a type of our life in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That we can walk in the rest of God, the peace of God. So a natural act of a physical day becomes a spiritual walk.
Right?
Right? With Christ Jesus. And so we want to show you here that these Old Testament laws of redemption pointing to what God was going to do over here, so that when we would get here, we would fully understand the magnitude of what this redemptive process really is. So we can identify it. We know why, because we see it patterned after the thing that was there in the Old Testament. Not to tell us that we had to do some of these physical things like they did there, because that was never given to us Gentiles. But the spiritual side of that is, therefore, showing us the full plan of redemption. And so, God put those there for a reason. So that when we get here, we can understand, fully understand what this is, and then how to possess it. Amen. So I want to talk about this birthright, inheritance, and redemption just for a minute, a few minutes. You know, the Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs, and the 12 patriarchs became the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
They sold their brother into bondage, Joseph, and they wound up in slavery in Egypt. There they was, the sons of Abraham. And so they're in bondage in Egypt.
Yeah.
And so God sent Moses. Moses came along and he brought them out in an Exodus. And so, but you have to understand, those 12 tribes, those 12 sons of Israel or Jacob, mm-hmm. when those sons were born, as the mothers cried out their names in birth, while they were being birthed, and she was in birth pains, and they would give the name to that child, that name that was given to that child agreed with the land that they were going to have future, right? Because they would go into slavery, their offspring and so forth, and later on God would bring them out and put them in the promised land. And so you have to understand that For the natural Jewish people, the land was their promise.
Right.
For us, it's not a land, but it's a life in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen.
And so before they were ever born, there was already land over in Palestine, different portions of land. And those portions here was, this portion was Ephraim, and for this one was for Manasseh, and this was for Judah, and this was for Issachar. Right, all those pieces. Maybe they were inhabited by Gentile peoples. You know, the Amorites and Hittites and Jebusites and all. They all possessed that, but that land was already in God's economy earmarked for those sons of Israel.
Right.
And God's program is so powerful and so wonderful that when those mothers were there and giving birth to those children, when they cry out, maybe not even knowing, they didn't know. But cry out that name, and that name for that tribe matched the place that God had predestinated for them to be in that land. And so that name matched their place where they were going to be, and in many times even their occupation and what they would do in that location. If they were by the sea, it would become fishermen or something like that. The name was tied to the inheritance.
Right.
I mean, that makes sense. Names tied to an inheritance,
right.
Even in the natural, right? There was an inheritance there, and so that name, and when that mother would speak it, cry out, it would place those children right where they were going to be, because, you see, it was a plan of God that was moving forward there.
Right.
Amen. And so, there is something in the name.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
Why did God decide to change Abraham's name?
Right.
And change Sarah's name? Because, you know, when you're here and you're living a life of sin, you have a name that's tied to that life, and then when you get a victory and you get, you know, now you live a life of God, that's a different name.
Right.
Than the name, and I'm not saying your natural name, I'm saying in the economy of God. God's got a name for you that matches the inheritance he has for you.
Right.
And that's why the scripture tells us in the book of Revelation that he has a new name.
Right,
and only person going to know it is you.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, in God's economy, there's a name. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But he's got a name that matches the position that he's given us. And so you see that in these natural children of Israel. There's a name there that they had that were given that matched the location, their occupation, and all the things that was going to be there.
Yeah.
And so, because names mean something. Those children of Israel had that before they were ever born.
Yeah.
It's already given to them by God. I'm showing you the natural type spiritually.
Amen.
Before we were ever born, before the foundation of the world, God already had a place in his economy for us.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
We're going to have it.
Right.
Because the plan of redemption is going to make sure we get it back.
Amen.
Even though we come to this world lost, Jesus went to Calvary so we could come back and have what God purposed for us to have.
Amen.
Amen. And so those 12 tribes were down there in Egypt, got into bondage, and God sent Moses, and it was through the shed blood that they were set free under Moses.
Right.
Moses brought them out of Egypt, was a type of sin, and then Joshua came along, and Joshua took them into the promised land. Joshua placed them, each one of those tribes, when they got there and they fought the battles, they went there, and then, you know, Ephraim, now you go, this is your place. And that was the place that had been ordained all along for them to be. So Joshua didn't take them out of sin, out of Egypt. Joshua placed them in the very place where they need to be.
Yeah.
Right? And until they become to that place where they need to be, they're kind of not quite there yet, right?
Yeah.
So, you want to know Joshua, the word Joshua means Jehovah's Savior. Same thing as Jesus. Jesus and Joshua means the same thing in the scriptures. So Joshua placed him. And this is why the prophet comes along and he tells us that the book of Ephesians is a parallel to Joshua. Because Moses could defeat all the Egyptians and all the things in the Red Sea and all that could happen under Moses to bring you out of sin and all that and cause that enemy to be dead. But there's another part you've got to come to.
Yes, right.
And that is that you've got to come to that place where Amen. God has ordained for you to be.
Amen.
And until you get to that place, you're not there yet.
Amen.
You may be out of sin. You may have got away from the world, but you're not in that land yet.
Right.
Now remember, that's a victorious life in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Right? So you can just repent of your sins, but that doesn't mean you've got the Holy Ghost in your life yet.
Right?
That's why Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Right? Right? Because you don't get the Holy Ghost just by believing.
Right.
You don't get the Holy Ghost just by Moses bringing you out of Egypt.
Right.
But you get it when you're placed actually into that promise where you belong. Right? And Joshua was the one that did that. And so when you look at it, you come over and you look in the New Testament, and you look at Paul, who was obviously called of God to speak to us Gentiles. He's the one that laid the foundation for the entire Gentile church. Mm-hmm. So Paul is preaching to us Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Colossians and Galatians and Ephesians, all those. And so you see Paul is teaching a lot of things to all those other places, especially like the Corinthians. But Paul couldn't speak to the Corinthians the things that he spoke to the ones in Ephesus, in Ephesians. It was in the book of Ephesians where Paul began to say that God, from the foundation of the world, predestinated. You've got an inheritance and it's yours and nothing can take it away. He wasn't talking like to other people.
Right.
He's talking like to the Ephesians. Why? Because this is the kind of teaching that will place you where you belong in the kingdom of God. It'll do more than just take you out. But it'll put you over there where you need to be.
Amen.
And when you're over there where you need to be, you have everything you need to defeat every enemy
right.
that ever tries to come your way.
Amen.
As long as you're in that promise.
Right?
Right? Because it's God that gave it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe that. And we know that's how it works. And so you have to have that Ephesus experience. And as we know that there must come another Ephesus in our day. And all he's saying is there must come a movement of God where he takes you not just out of sin, not just out of denominational things or man-made teaching or something like that, but absolutely into the placing of the power and position that God had for you. That must come again at the end time. Otherwise, we go all off into eternity. And we're not there where we're supposed to be yet. And you know God don't operate his program like that.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, God had in his economy a plan and a way to bring this forth at the end time. A movement of God where all the scriptures would come alive and a people would begin to realize. They'd hear this word, would hear it and say, you know what? This word is telling me that I have a place in God.
Right.
That I can live and begin to express attributes of God because I'm his son. Because he said so. Not because I say, not because the preacher said it or whatever, but because God had it laying there in his word all the time. And now all of a sudden we hear it coming out of the word. We hear the same Bible that spoke for 2,000 years. Apparently didn't speak that to other people because it wasn't time. But that same Bible, an eternal word, now speaking, and we hear that, and we see now's the time God is calling to a people to come to full manifestation of the attributes of God in their life. And that's what he's doing. Amen. And so, now we're going to go back and talk about these, some of these redemptive acts. So the children of Israel, they got into trouble there, and of course Moses brought them out. Joshua takes them in, and then once they're in there, they can fully express the things of God. So God knew, as I said, God knew that someone might lose their inheritance, get into trouble, and they might lose it. And so he put something in place there, different laws of redemption to help people come back. And so you realize when God says to a specific man, now you might be of the tribe of Judah. So this piece of land over here where all of the tribe of Judah is, and you've got, here's this little farm here, that's your inheritance. That's where God wants you. And you live there, you raise your family there, and you give that inheritance to your son, and he'll give it to his son, and so forth, and it'll go through the firstborn, you understand all that. And so there's that. But what if that man got in trouble? He got in bad finances, and he had to sell that place to keep from, starving to death, or his family or something like that, or maybe he wound up as a slave somehow working for somebody else. Then God said, no, that's not my plan. My plan is that belongs to him, and so I can't let him be sold off into slavery and never get to come back to that.
Right.
So God put laws in place to say that if a man wound up, when we read this, if you wound up as a slave or a servant in cycles, on the seventh year, that man could go free. He was no longer a slave.
Right?
Because God's economy is not bondage, it's freedom. So he would set him free. And so God told him, listen, this is the laws. You might buy a servant. You might have him work for you for 6 years. But on that seventh year, you let him go.
Right.
He's free. I don't care how much you paid for him.
Yeah.
He's free. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so that was in seven-year cycles there. That was a law that God put there. Because God said, you might fall, but I'm not going to let you stay there. I've got redemption. I got a law, and I'm going to make sure that no matter what happens to you, you get to come back to where I had you in the first place. Right? That's what those natural things in the Old Testament are there for, so that over here we can clearly understand how to be free people.
Right.
Amen. How to be free. And so we saw that, and so God is basically saying, this is your place, and no one can take it from you. Right? You're going to come back to it. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39. Now remember, we just read just before this where Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Right?
Amen.
So Paul just goes on to say, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors of him through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, things become, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing is going to keep it from you.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
Redemption.
Right.
Nothing's going to keep that away from you. God said so.
Right.
Say amen. So, just for a moment, I want you to stop and think. Think of something. Say, Brother Tony, I'm going through a struggle right now. So I want you to identify what that is, and I want you to tell me. Was it not named there in that list?
Right.
Everything was named right, whether it's power, principalities, whatever it is, present, things to come, past sins, sins in the future, whatever.
Right.
None of it can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, which is what brought us redemption.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Can't get away from it, right? See, in him is yea and amen. That's what the scripture says. Right? Yea and amen. Yes, amen. It's what God said. That's what I am partakers of. Amen. And so, this would happen there, as I said, a man could be a servant and so forth. And but however, we read there in the scriptures there that if this man was working there and it come, his cycle of seven was up, and he could go to his master and say, well, seven is up now, I get to go free. And the master could say, okay, good, you go. But the scripture said, and this is how tricky the devil is, the scripture said there that, but if, while he was there working for that servant, for that man, as a servant to that man, that if that man gave him a wife, and he had children by her, in other words, if something happened in that relationship there where it made it really hard for that man to walk away, right?
Yeah.
So if the devil would wind you up in something that God doesn't intend for you to be in this life and in this way, but he gets you so wound up and so twisted up in things and have so much invested that when that message comes that you could go free, you're not willing to do it. Right? You're not willing to do it because of this or because of that. And Satan's very crafty. He'll make sure that it's hard to walk away. Right? Make sure it's hard to walk away in the natural. But what's more important?
Right.
Serving in the natural or being free?
Yeah.
Right? So, the scripture said there that if that man said, well, no, I love my master, I love my children, I love my wife, I'm not going to go. Now, keep in mind, this isn't a cycle of seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, get to go free on seven. It would repeat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seventh to go free. And that happened over and over and over because God's all about numerology. He has cycles the way he does things.
Right.
And so he would say, well, if he doesn't want to go free, then they would take him down to the temple.
Right.
You take him down to the place where the word of God is represented.
Right.
As a witness. Take him down there and they would take and they would bore his ear through with an awl. They'd poke a hole through his ear. And you know, when you poke a hole in your ear, it don't go away.
Right. Right.
It's there.
Yeah.
I don't care how old you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? So the whole concept there is that when the message comes to you and says, you don't have to live in sin any longer, you can go free. That at that moment, you have a decision to make.
Right.
Can you walk away from all the things that life consists of and be free? Or if you still feel like you just can't let go of those things, then God is saying that at that time when you hear it, if you can't fully accept it, then you're going to be marked in your ear and you'll never hear another freedom message again.
That's right.
Right.
That's it.
Because remember how the prophet said, you know, like a gun, when you shoot it, if you're off just a little bit here, you'll be way off out there. And the only way to correct it is come all the way back to where it was off.
Right.
Remember the story about the soldier who was dying out on the field, been shot?
Mm-hmm.
The chaplain went out there, prayed with him, said, are you a Christian? He said, I used to be. The man said, where did you leave him?
Mm-hmm.
And the man laying there about to die, his blood filling up in his lungs, and he said, a smile come on his face, and he said, I found him. So where was he? And he began to pray, he began to say the prayer as a child. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Because that's where he left him.
Right.
See, you can never go any further with God until you go back to the place where you said, no, I can't, I'm not going to do this. That's
right.
You can't say, well, I'm not, and then go out a little bit further and decide, well, I'll get right with God out here. It won't happen. You've got to come back to where it started. You know, if you had trouble and victory in your life, you've got to come back to here.
Yes, we have.
And you know where that's at.
Right.
Yeah, you know. So this man is like, no, I don't want to walk away from my wife and children. And so they would mark him in the ear. And so then the scripture said he could never go free. Had to serve forever.
Yep.
Right.
Keep that in mind as we talk about this next thing. Because in the next saying, there were seven cycles of seven, which would make 49 years. And the next year after that, the 50th year, was a year of Jubilee.
Right.
Now keep in mind, every one of these cycles of seven, when a man would hear that, hey, it's time you can go free, he could go free, or if he didn't, he was bored through, his ear bored through with it all. In God's economy, after seven cycles of that happened on that 50th year, on the Day of Atonement, was the year of Jubilee, they'd blow a trumpet, and not only could they go free, but then they could go back to the inheritance we talked about, back to the possession, back to the thing that God had given them in the first place.
Right.
When there was a trumpet sounding on the Day of Jubilee, or year of Jubilee, on the Day of Atonement, when that came, not only are they free, no longer slaves, but now they can go back to that place that God said they were at the beginning. And for me, when I look at that is, and we'll get through this because there were seven church ages, seven cycles of seven, and then a message,
amen.
Right? A trumpet sound,
yes.
And that, not only, so like under Luther, you could go free,
right. Come on.
But didn't get a body change.
That's right.
Under Wesley, you could go free through that message. But not a body change. But here it then, after all those seven cycles unfold, now there's a message comes forth, a trumpet that sounds, and under that message, not only are you free, but you get to go on a body change, go right back to that position God held for you in His mind before the world was. You go right back to that. Amen. So that's how it works. But here's the thing. If during your day you rejected the message of your day and your ear was bored through with it all, it makes no difference how many days of atonement.
That's right.
Right? You can't come up in a resurrection or go in a body change if in your day you rejected the move of God in your day.
That's right.
See what I'm saying?
Yes,
but if during that Day of Atonement you had not violated one of those laws of redemption, you're going back. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You're going back. There was also another situation there. If the possession that was given to you was inside a walled city and you lost it for whatever reason, you had up to 1 year that you could go back and redeem that back. You could get that back within a year. Now, if it was outside of the city, it was a different law. But because you have to understand, God don't need for us to live inside a bunch of cities, that's so to speak, in His kingdom. I know there's a new city, but the gates aren't going to be shut.
Yeah, right.
You have a city and you shut it so you can keep out the ones you don't want in there and so forth. And what you understand, that's what God never told us to make denominations. We got the Word of God.
Amen.
But man comes along and he builds up denominational walls and says, you know, this is all we are. We don't let somebody else in and we don't let our people go out and so forth. We're just, this is who we are. And it hinders the plan of God because God is not limited like that.
Right.
The whole world is His. You understand? And so you see, so whenever they had walled cities and you had a possession in a walled city and you lost that, you could redeem it back within a year. But if you didn't redeem that back within a year, you could never redeem it. So, Jubilee year come, you still didn't get it back. So, if you understand, walled cities,
yeah.
Denominations,
amen.
Man's confinements. God don't want us confined to man and so forth. And so you understand, there's a lot of different things, ways you can go with that. So, these were laws of redemption. So, on that Day of Atonement, year of Jubilee, 50th year after seven cycles of second. Seven. And I said, that types seven church ages.
Amen.
That Day of Atonement, we've been through this before, that Day of Atonement, it happened on the 10th day of the 7th month. Jewish month. 10th day of the 7th month.
Right.
That there would be a trumpet sound. And everybody could go free, go back to their possessions. Go back to what God had for them. So, you understand how it would work. We've heard it illustrated before that if you're out there in the field and you're hoeing, you're a slave or you're working, you've been working all this time. You're owned by somebody and you just have to do what they say. But on that day, when that time came, they had men who blew a trumpet. And you know the scripture says, if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for war?
Right?
Right? So God wants you to understand what a trumpet sounds like. And so you have to realize, you have to understand that if you're the gene of God, you know, my sheep know my voice.
Amen.
It's not like you have to be taught how to recognize that trumpet. You'll recognize it,
yes,
right, if it's for you. And so, and it'll give a sound that you understand, and you'll know what to do with that sound.
Right.
So on the Day of Atonement, whenever that trumpet would sound, people knew that on this day, when they would blow that trumpet from the top of the mountain there, and it was a certain sound, they knew that was the trumpet sound that said you could throw your hoe down,
right,
you could throw, quit doing whatever, and you could walk away.
Yeah. Right.
And you could go right back and say, this is my house, this is my land, get out.
Yeah. Right.
Not like what we see now with all these squatters.
Yeah.
Right? Think about the natural, all the things going on.
Sure.
Right.
See? God wants you to think that you can't even go back to something that belongs to you compared to man.
Right.
All these things that's going on in the natural are types. It's just a contract to show you.
Yeah.
See? But don't ever fall for that. In God's economy, you could go back. When that time comes, you could go back and take possession of what belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we understand how that works.
Mm-hmm.
He could go back and say, it's mine. Amen?
Amen.
Unless ear was bored through with an awl or his possession, you know, so all the details there.
Yeah.
On that day when he heard that, I could say to that man out there, he's hauling him, throw his hoe down. And everybody else there going, what's wrong with you, man? You better get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, I hear something.
Right.
Yeah, I hear it too. Don't mean nothing to me.
Yeah.
But it means something to him.
Sure, man.
You follow me?
Yeah.
It means something to him.
Yeah.
And so my point is that when that trumpet sounds, when that message comes on the 10th day of the 7th month, and you hear that, what does that mean to you? What do you hear? What is it saying to you?
Right, right.
What's it telling you that you are?
Amen.
Is it telling you that that's just a noise?
Mm-hmm.
Is it telling you that's just another preacher?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it telling you this is the day you've been waiting for all these years, for your whole life?
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
So when you hear that sound, it speaks something to you.
Yes.
On that day, you can go free. To me, this is rapture.
Yeah.
That trumpet sound is rapture.
Yeah.
It's a cycle.
Right.
Right? You know, it took a while for that trumpet to sound to go through all of Israel. I always pictured it that they had certain mountains and right whenever the sun would rise and they knew it was that day, then this guy'd blow a trumpet and the other ones would hear it, okay, and they'd blow trumpets and they'd hear it and they'd blow trumpets, and it would just spread out and over every mountain, and finally to all the nation of Israel, just within a few minutes had heard that trumpet sound. But it took time.
Yeah.
Right.
It took time for that to propagate. It takes time for God to come with a message and speak to the people and call them out of Babylon and get them and move across. And eventually it sweeps across all peoples, and all who recognize what it is,
yeah,
go free.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But not everybody recognizes it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Yep.
Revelation 10:7, as she will bring that up. Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, trumpeting sound, you read the scriptures there, trumpet sounding. When he begins to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished as he had declared to his servants the prophets. Amen? When did that happen? Revelation 10:7.
Right?
There's your tie.
Right.
It is the Day of Atonement. It is a message, a trumpet. It is a changing of dispensation. It is a sweep of changing our bodies, and it starts out moving, and it has to sweep and go across all the peoples and so forth. And at some point, our bodies are changed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We're entitled to that as our birthright.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Redemption has brought it back to us.
Yes.
Amen.
But you know, the scripture tells us, you know, the gene of God, predestination, it goes really deep. Okay? Not everybody that was Abraham's children were Abraham's seed, says scripture.
Right.
See, remember, it's God's Bible. It's his program. And I could sit here all I want to, and I could say, you know what? Esau was Abraham's seed. So Esau, it belongs to him too. You know what I'm saying? It's not my word. It's not my thoughts. It's what God said.
Right?
Right? Yes. Right? And so you have to understand that Esau had the birthright.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he despised it.
That's right.
Esau had all that was to come.
Yeah.
But he despised it and he lost it. Mm-hmm. Sold it to his brother Jacob. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 17, we're just almost done. Scriptures, Paul saying, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For just one meal, he sold out his entire birthright.
Yeah.
So weird. But you know people do that today?
Sure.
Yes.
For something very simple.
Yeah.
They trade something of temporal value for an eternal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture says, for you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Amen? And so, all these laws and the contrast there to realize, yes, there's a place God has for us, but there is, it matters what we do with the message of our day.
Amen.
When we hear God telling us that we can go free, we need to take heed to it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
those guys, throughout those seven sevens, if they rejected it, there's no way that Jubilee trumpet could help them because they had already messed up.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, when we hear our Jubilee message, what is it saying to you? Esau lost his birthright. And because he lost his birthright, he lost the inheritance. And then there was no redemption. There was no way to bring it back.
Yeah.
You got to accept it. Believe it.
Amen.
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 So, what do you hear today? What are you hearing in the Word of God today? Is it a bunch of do's and don'ts to you? Is it a bunch of legalism to you? Or is it life?
Right. Amen.
Amen.
This is the difference.
Amen.
Right? Is it life? I was fellowshipping with a brother, a man I work with, and he said something, and I thought it was really good. I wanted to, just a little, you know, a little cliche, a little say, but he said, you know, we're not earning heaven. We're learning heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning here the character that it takes to live where we're going to.
Yeah.
And we're not earning it. We're not trying our best to live so we can be set. No, we are. He's done. Redemption's over with.
Right.
Redemption's done. He done fix that. But we're here learning it.
Mm-hmm.
How that character can be built up in us. And so that when we go there, we'll fit.
Right,
because the scripture tells us that they're the liars and whoremongers and all of they're not even allowed there.
Yeah.
Right? It's interesting to go see the list of all the things that won't be there. Him that makes a lie and so forth, and the fearful and the unbelieving.
Yeah.
Won't be there. Mm-hmm. It won't be allowed for us to be there and be fearful and unbelieving of God's word.
Yeah.
Right? So we come to the place where we believe and perfect love casteth out fear. We believe when we come to that here so that when our bodies are changed and we go over there, we'll fit right in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've traveled a few times, different places around the world, and I always thought, you know, when you're going to do that, probably be a good idea if you go and just kind of study up a little bit about the place where you're going. Find about the laws, find about the customs, find out about, you know, why? Because you don't want to offend when you go there.
Right?
Right? So you make changes and you prepare so that when you're there, you fit in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
What about the kingdom of heaven?
Amen.
What about fitting in there? Make preparations here now so that when we get there, we fit in. Amen. So we're so glad. When we're set free, when we're set free, we hear that sound, we're set free. We don't have to keep doing the things we used to.
Right.
As sinners and whatever. Right. When you hear that message says, I'm different now. I don't have to listen to that slave driver Satan in my flesh telling me to live things contrary. So you don't have to keep doing the things that you have been doing. And you don't have to keep doing the things that the rest of the world does.
Right.
Everybody else can do all those things. You don't have to. You do not have to be connected to all the things that the world is connected to. You don't have to. Right? In your walk, you can identify the things that are not fit for your walk, and you don't have to do them. Because faith, because God said so, because you've heard a trumpet, you heard it say, you're my child, I have something for you. You do not have to wallow in all that stuff. You do not have to have the fear that they have and the worries that they have. Because if God is for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
You're going to go through trials and troubles down here. That's part of it. But while we're in those trials, we do not have to do those things. We're a separated people. God said we were. He called us out to be separated. And so we don't have to do that. How do we do that? By faith in His Word. I've heard Him say to me that I'm His. And therefore, I'm not like them. Not that I'm trying to be different. Not that I want to not fit in, but I want to fit in with Him.
Amen.
And I have that call in me. And so that's what makes the difference. And by faith in what He has said and what He's done and what He has proven to be the truth.
Yeah.
His Word is all we need.
Amen.
His Word on the matter is all we need.
Amen.
Right? Yes. And from that, you know, I can imagine on that day when the children of Israel come across out of the Red Sea and, you know, probably was still fearful because now they could look in the sea and they could see all those Egyptians coming. And they figured, well, after a while, they're going to get here. But when that sea swallowed them up, and they look out there and say, wow, all those whips on our back, all of our loved ones that were slain by them people, never again.
Yeah.
Brother, sister, you talk about shouting.
Amen.
Oh, yes. You talk about grabbing a tambourine like Miriam did and going down through there praising God. Brother, sister, this is praising God time.
Yeah.
Right? Not because we just, because we hear it, we see it, we see God vindicated. We're nowhere in that cycle and our body changes are coming soon.
Amen.
Right? We know this because of the timing and how it's all unfolded and what we see God doing. It is rejoicing time.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Because we've heard these things and seen these things coming to pass. May the Lord bless you. Let the musicians come. Amen. Birthright, inheritance, and redemption. It's yours. And God made sure that you wasn't going to lose it. You're going to come back. Amen. We're so thankful for that.
Amen.
God is so good to us. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy upon us. We thank You for Your word in this hour, Lord, that You have promised that in this last day there would come a restoration to a church that had fallen away from Your truth, like You promised in Your scripture. You showed that it was going to happen. And Lord, that here at the end time that You'd send forth the spirit of Elijah and it would bring a restoration and restore these things that was lost. And God, we're so thankful that that move is going now. That You don't have a people that's going to leave this world defeated, but a people that's walking in total, complete victory in You. We love You, Lord. We ask, God, that as we go in our daily walks, that this victory we're talking about, Lord, that we would gain more ground each time we'd stand and possess more of these things that You promised us to stand bold on, knowing that the enemy cannot take them from us. We love You, Lord. We ask for Your blessings upon each one now. Take it, absorb these things, and walking into Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
the preaching of the word, Satan doesn't like it. He gets nervous. And he draws back. And the influence that he tries to hold upon you, when you're sitting in the presence of the word and that's coming, it drives that spirit off of you. It drives unbelief back away from you. And it brings in clarity. Clarity of the plan of redemption to place you where God wants you. And so, right now, it'd be a good time for you as you sit in that clarity, as you sit in the presence of God's word that has spoke to you. Right now is a good time to make a commitment to the Lord. Say, God, this day forward, I want to walk in what I've heard. I want this influence of this word in my life to make that difference. And I'm going to start by accepting it, by embracing it. Amen. And if you'll walk away from here this day holding those things in your heart and looking into God's word and putting yourself in the fellowship of this kind of environment, stay in that, you'll see that that will become a birth, something born in you. And once it's there, perhaps a lot of you already have it, but maybe you haven't. But a new birth is a birth of eternal life in you. Satan can't drive that from you. Once you get that, you might have trials. You might, in your mind, you might have doubts and things like that. But there's something resident down inside that's this word. Amen? And it brings you to that. Amen? So right now, just bow your heads just for a moment. This is a good time for you to make that commitment to God. You don't have to make it to me. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything like that. But listen, each one of you have a walk. Each one of you have struggles. Each one of you have frustrations. Each one of you have places where you've missed the mark and you're ashamed. You feel sorry about it. But each one of you have a place in God you'd like to be. And today's the day, right? To ask God to bring that change that we just sung about. Bring that change upon you so that you can say, I'll not go back. I can't go back because you've changed me. Lord, I'm asking God that you would just let this birth of this word, the birth of the person of Jesus Christ, the living word for our day. Lord, may you take resonant now in every heart, every soul here today, and those listening. We ask God that this move would come over them now, that they would be able to possess these things and not just hear about it in church, but go knowing that it's alive in them. Because, Lord, it gives them such strength. I ask, God, that you would just bless each one in that way. And, Lord, if they have accepted you now without reservation and said, God, come in, I pray, Lord, that you baptize each one of them now with your presence, because you promised to do that, Lord. You said, in the day that we seek you with all our hearts, that the day that we will find you. And I'm asking God now that each one as they pray, that's what happens now. They find you now because they have sought you with all their hearts in the presence of your word this morning. Grant it, God. We